Vibe Astrology.
Welcome, everyone, to our final call for Essential Astrology for Deliberate Creators with Kim Falconer and myself, Jeanette Ma. Hello, Kim.
Hey, here we are at Aspects.
I'm smiling just looking at all the beautiful colors in front of me right now.
Yes, it's great, isn't it? What we're doing today on today's call is we're referring first to Angelina Jolie's chart because she has such a lovely array of aspects. Will has some great ones too, but we wanted a chart where number one, you could see every aspect that we're going to be talking about all in one place. So we're switching over to using her for our example chart, and we're going to talk about what these aspects are. Also, you're able to look at this image and not only see the angular relationships or aspects drawn at the center of the chart, but you also can see the aspectarian, which is that grid-like structure with the symbols in it. And we're just going to lightly touch on that so you know what you're looking at when you go have your chart done at astro.com or whatever astrology program you're using. When it comes up with those lines and the aspectarian, you know, well, what the heck is this? You're going to know.
So, Kim, let's start with the super basics. What is an aspect?
Okay. In astrology, there are mathematical relationships between the planets or a planet and a point. And these are just degrees that line up, creating what we call the aspects. They are connecting aspects. So, for example, we'll run through the major ones. Note right away that there are a lot more aspects than what we will discuss today. Today, we're just going to talk about five major aspects, but there's more than that. These major ones are the primary ones you want to be able to see with your eye and get a handle on first. So it's building blocks. Start with these basics. The first one you want to look for is the conjunction. And as it sounds, this means that the two planets are in the same place. The meaning of a conjunction aspect is a merging, just like it makes sense here. The energies are merged because they are acting in that same place in the zodiac. They're the same place in the chart, often in the same house and the same sign. Now, they don't have to be the same degree. With aspects, you will find that there is something we call the degree of orb, and that means how wide apart do they have to be and still be considered conjunct or considered in relationship to each other. So if we look at Angelina's chart, for example, we see right at the top of the chart in the sign of Aries, there are four, she's got Chiron as well, but in the ninth house, there are three planets together very close in the sign of Aries. They are not all in the same degree. Mars is 10, Moon is 13, Jupiter is 17, but they are all within 10 degrees of each other. So these three planets are considered to be conjunct. In addition to that, we know that they are also called a stellium. When you get three or more planets in the same sign or the same house, it's called a stellium. So just so you know that terminology. But this is the conjunction. And as we look at her chart, we know that Mars energy, Moon energy, and Jupiter energy are all going to be together in the fiery sign of Aries. Yeah. So the way I want you to think about these aspects, whether they're conjunct or we'll go through them all, but opposition or square or sextile, however they are connected, the first most important thing to know is that they are connected at all. Okay. It doesn't matter so much that it's square or trine or what the angular relationship is. What matters is they are linked. Think about that first before you try to define what the aspect means. Number one, it means they're linked. It means that if you do one of the planets in the relationship, in the aspect, the other one automatically is engaged. You cannot separate them out. They start to act together. Now, remember in our original analogy, the The planets are the actors. The signs are the costumes they wear. The houses are the stages that they act on. And the aspects that we're talking about today are the scripts that they're handed. Note that if the planet is in aspect to another planet, he's scripted to relate. Now, we're not saying how that relationship is scripted. And this is something that we as deliberate creators have a complete control over when we put conscious awareness on it. But we know right away, regardless of all that, they are scripted. They're meant to interact with each other. So in Angelina's case, if she feels, she gets in touch with her feeling world, what comes up with that? If she's having an emotional response to something, what is her immediate reaction? I mean, she's got Mars, Mars on her right and Jupiter on her left. And it's in Aries, which is going to be instant response. So she feels something, her warrior wakes up and the principle of expansion. So she feels it 10 times bigger maybe than it really is. And she's ready to fight for it. So it's extremely powerful energy here. It really heats up this configuration for her, really heats up the moon and her feelings. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just trying to imagine a better interpretation. I'm thinking, because my first thought was, I wouldn't want to be married to her. I wouldn't want to live under the same roof as a person who had this going on.
Well,
but I'm sure it's not negative. I'm sure it can be positive.
Well, it depends. Well, if you, where's Brad? We should have Brad Pitt's chart, but that's more for our relationship series. But it's such a good point. Because if you have, what if your moon was also conjunct Mars and in Sagittarius and trine this, forming a 120 degree flowing energy trine, then when that happens to her, when she gets all riled up, it you like it. It excites you. It nourishes you.
We'd burn the house down.
Well, that too.
Someone here to calm this down.
Well, you probably have great sex. I'm imagining it would be, you know, with Mars in there, throw Venus as well. The point is that if your moon was in Taurus or Cancer, this would be appalling. This would be,
you wouldn't be able to relate.
You wouldn't relate. It wouldn't nourish you. But this fiery aspect, this very fiery aspect of this woman would be very nourishing to people who respond and attract that and want that in their life. So this is where astrology teaches us not to judge what is good or bad, but what is nourishing and feeding and stimulating and interesting. Definitely a lot of water planets and maybe Neptune in the fourth house, who wants a sanctuary and peace at home, is not going to feel this. But note right away that all this is happening right on her midheaven. So where can she project this out onto? Where does this energy go?
She can take it to work.
She takes it to work. And look at the characters she portrays. Mm-hmm. Often it's the, Tomb Raider woman, you know, the adventure. Laura Croft, thank you.
Mrs. Smith.
Yes, those are all Moon, Jupiter, Mars in Aries people.
Evelyn Salt, yeah.
So, I don't think universe cares where we live out our energy as long as it's lived out. And you can act it in a play or in a film. You can write it in a book as a character. You can paint it in a picture. There are a lot of ways to express who you are. It just wants to be acknowledged and put out there. If this configuration was in Aries in the fourth house, then yeah, I would say a lot would be copped. But just the fact, I mean, Jeanette, you picked it. The moon's in there. So this is something that does wake up around the home. Or maybe, you know, what was her relationship with mother like? You know, there could be, that could be quite dynamic. I think she lost her mother very early.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be anger around there with Mars. And, you know, and it certainly affected choices that she's made even recently, her relationship with her mother. So, yeah, that's good. So that's an example of the conjunction. She's also has very interesting, if we look at the rising sign of Cancer, so she filters this through something very feminine and very ingratiating. And she, when you meet her, you would probably be meeting a person who is just making you feel very warm, very welcome. You just look at her in her interviews and so forth. She's like this, you feel that kind of nurturing. She doesn't have those sharp angles. She's very round and soft. And well, that's how I experience her in her.
Well, that's actually something I wanted to ask him, because we often hear in astrology about sharp angles and hard angles. And challenging aspects, but I wouldn't imagine you're going to say there are good and there are bad positions here.
They're exactly right. There are not good or bad positions. They're simply positions. They're connections. You got to see them as connections. And we just discussed, okay, Moon connected to Mars may not be, it's very different than if Moon was connected to Neptune and we feel like very similar qualities. There's contrast there, but holy cow, imagine a life without contrast.
Right.
What's the point? What would be the point?
Yeah.
What would be the point? And there would, yeah. So
that is actually an interesting thought to me, because Abraham talks about how, I'm referencing Abraham Hicks, but they talk about how people who experience a lot of contrast in life, that's by design, and that's beneficial, because through that contrast we have increased desire, and that's how we expand, indeed how all of life expands. So that would be a good thing. So I guess if we looked at some of those angles in terms of contrast, it would be easy to celebrate what traditional astrologers would call some of the tougher ones because of what it can lead to.
Absolutely. That is perfect. And it's important for us to remember this, and especially as you expand your learning by reading other astrology texts, it's up to you to paste over where they say hard angles, difficult angles, paste over ideas of contrast or excitement, or, you know, you're going to find words, diverse energy drives. And we're not just trying to use euphemisms, we're trying to drop value judgments so that we can experience this energy as it is. If you look at your chart and see Sun square the Saturn, and immediately the square is the 90 degree, and it's kind of notorious for contrast, the most contrast. If you believe that this is going to be difficult, how are you going to experience it?
Mm-hmm. We're handicapping ourselves in that with that expectation.
Saddling yourself with a bunch of extra weight, you don't need to. So it's up to you. Everyone needs to take responsibility for their own chart interpretations, their own aspects, and read the energy as it is, as the universal language is, not with the value judgment interpretations that got slapped over the top of it. So get to the core of the meaning. And the first underlining meaning is that these energies are connected. They are scripted to act. And we already know that we are the ones writing those scripts. And we can write Sun square Saturn script as being, you know, challenges authority and, you know, lack of self-esteem. Or we can say becomes one's own authority and gets very, very good at what they decide to do. We write that script. We tell the story. And that's all these scripts are, is the stories that are flowing between the planets.
I like that.
Yeah. All right, so then next, we're just going to run through the aspects, not in order necessarily of their importance. They're all important, but just in degrees, so they're easy for you to memorize. So the 0-degree conjunction, and remember that's within 10 degrees, that 10-degree orb. Then comes the sextile, which is the 60 degree relationship. And these are considered a connection of opportunity. There is a kind of a spark between these planets. Well, I'm just looking for, of course, Angelina has the sextiles between her Aries and her Gemini. So Moon is sextile the Sun. And she's got Jupiter sextile Mercury. So when she does Mercury, for example, when she thinks and communicates, she automatically taps into the power of Jupiter. It makes it big. It expands it. It adds enthusiasm. This woman, holy cow, I was reading, like, within days of her surgery, she had the bilateral mastectomy. She is in her think tank room drafting out. She's got this whole huge wall, and she's working with people drafting out the outline for the film that she's was planning at the time. This is just, like, within days of major surgery. I think her enthusiasm and positive outlook and positive thoughts that we see when we connect Jupiter with Mercury shines through here. She's not going to dwell on, oh, woe is me, you know, this was, you know, I'm going to be offline for ages and this is recovery is going to be hard, et cetera, et cetera. She's thinking positive. And how we think, Mercury, link it to abundance, expansion, and optimism, Jupiter, and you get some pretty positive thoughts going there. Okay, the next aspect is the square, which is, again, the 90-degree aspect. We would allow 10-degree orb here. So anywhere from 80 to 100 degrees is considered the square. And this is the primary contrast. We do see this as a powerful contrasting energy. And she has an exact square between Venus and Uranus. Venus in Cancer on the ascendant, Uranus in Libra in the fourth house. So everybody spot that. And this is a wonderful example of how we can tell different stories about these aspect positions. If Venus, and particularly Venus in Cancer, is the part of us that wants to win love and feel connected, and we already know that Uranus is the part of us that wants to explore out in the world as genius, kind of go beyond the box, be independent and autonomous energy, loves freedom. So we've got on one hand, loves connection, other hand, loves freedom, and there it's in a square aspect. So right away, how are they scripted? The initial scripting could be one of great contrast, where she gets into a relationship and immediately feels trapped and wants to break free. And then she breaks free and immediately feels the lack for Venus, like, where's the love? And I don't know her relationship history, but there can be struggle there to begin with. The goal of the aspect is to find a way to express both, find the value in both, because it's not ever going to work to just do one and not the other. Think of these aspects as table legs. If you had a table in front of you and you picked up one leg, what happens to the other three?
They're involved.
They all come up with it. You cannot pick up one table leg and have the others stay down. Not unless you're in Gumby land. And so when we're not, we're talking about, you know, solid land. And so the point is this, anyone with this square aspect is not going to find their true expression if they just do one corner of it and not the other. They need to do them all.
I was thinking how easy it would be if you had a negative interpretation of an aspect like this, that it might be an easy conclusion to just ignore it or deny it or resist it. But what you're saying, Kim, is you're going to want to learn how to incorporate these because it's impossible to leave it out.
Exactly. If you resist it, if you do Venus, let's say, okay, I want relationship, I meet someone and you connect, and you pretend that you don't have a desire for freedom, you resist your quirky, outside-the-box social conditioning side and repress it, guess where it's going to pop up?
In your partner?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. and you'll be attracted. You'll be like this miss. I see this image of the very proper woman, and she's dressed very traditionally, and she gets really attracted to these, you know, crazy poets and these wild biker types, and these really, and that's just her Uranus, because she's not living
it.
She's repressing it. You can't resist it. And it seems true if you just went for your wild, zany, I'm free, carefree person, then you would be missing out on the relationship side. And so who would you attract? You would attract, especially Venus in Cancer, needy,
yeah,
clingy, wanting to nail you down and commit and all that. So the goal,
if we were scripting a positive, was that where you're
Yeah, no, you said, yes, exactly.
Well, I was just trying to imagine what my script might be. If I had this aspect, I might be, I'd actually know what I would script. I would probably script something like, I do really well in relationships with a lot of independence. Like,
yes,
you know, I can be in partnership with someone and there's a lot of freedom involved on both our parts, but that they aren't in conflict or they don't contradict each other, but they can work well together. And I would just start imagining what that might look like or how that might feel.
Exactly. And just, honoring it that way so that when you go into relationship, you don't just side all with Venus and ignore that part of you that needs freedom. You know how we first start a relationship? We're all ready to kind of give up some things like, oh, I wanted to take this job or do that course, but, oh, that would mean I wouldn't be able to see them as often or something. We start to, you know, narrow down our lives for the relationship. If you've got Venus Uranus connected in any way, don't do that. That is not going to honor you. It's like you're going to need to keep making choices for your own individual evolution and nurture and love the relationship. You're going to need to pick partners who also have a Venus Uranus component, so there's the emotional maturity to recognize, independence and closeness. We don't have to live together. We can have this fabulous relationship, and we don't have to follow traditional rules. Very, very important to go in that direction. So this is the exemplary of any square or any aspect that is not where we're identified with one corner of those table legs and not the other. And with scripting, exactly what you said, Jeanette, you can tell this story in some pretty exciting ways. It might be, you know, we have two homes. And we spent, you know, one's in Europe. Well, I'm thinking of Angelina, but she can, you know, one's in the Mediterranean and one's in, you know, Belize, I don't know, somewhere. And there's this flow between. And I had a couple that I was doing chart work for at one time, and they both had a really strong Venus-Uranus connection. Both their histories were just, you know, a trail of demolished relationships behind both of them. And they really, really, really liked each other. And they were really hoping that somehow they could break their pattern. And what we devised was every morning when they woke up, they decided together, they said, hey, do you want to be close today or free? They would decide, oh, I think I'll be free. Yeah, that sounds good. We'll be free. And they go off and do their own thing. And then the next day they might decide to be close. And they never stopped doing that. They never took it for granted. They never let themselves fall into one side or the other. And it made a huge difference because every day they acknowledged this diversity and this uniqueness in the relationship and their needs. They acknowledged their needs and they lived it. So that seemed to make a really big difference for what they were able to create. All right. Yeah. So the next aspect is the trine. And you can see by the symbols we've got there, it's the triangle. It's 120 degree. Again, there's a 10 degree orb. So anything between, you'll find different astrologers will have different orbs. Some people will go up to maybe even 13 degrees for the personal planets. And some like to keep them tighter. I go for generally pretty wide orbs. But so between 110 and 130 degrees of aspect is considered a trine. And this is generally considered the easy flowing, wow, you've got these trines, how lucky you, how fabulous. And let me just tell you something. That's true. There is a beauty and a symmetry to the trine aspect. How it is interpreted, again, is up to us. I always use the example of I don't know where that chart is, but I'll have to find it, the Boston Strangler, one of them, but this is going back. This is something that was taught to me probably in the 70s. But the Boston Strangler's chart was put up there, and we weren't told who it was. And it was, I guess, Mahatma Gandhi and somebody else, who has a lot of squares, by the way. Someone else guessed, I don't know, some great world leader and peace. He's got all these trines. And the thing is about the trine is it gives us this idea of beauty and peace and flow and this expectation of the world being this heaven on earth. And if our upbringing, if we have one aspect in there, one transit rough when we're growing up and it brings contrast, a lot of trines are not going to deal well with contrast. They aren't, it's not built in. It's the people with all the squares and oppositions and tough stuff, what we call, the contrasty stuff, they grow up knowing how, they know it's a diverse world. They know that they have to take power of their lives. They learn a different thing than those with the trines who are, it's more passive and more lean back and this expectation of beauty. And if something throws a monkey wrench in that, it can really tweak them out. It can be a much bigger challenge. And this is why it's really important not to slap value judgments on these aspects, because just because it's a trine doesn't mean everything's peachy. There is a sense of connection between the planets that expect it. And if something then over here comes out of left field and doesn't match it, it can, it can be much more shattering. Does that make sense?
It does. And it sounds like we just went from one judgment to another judgment about trines. Like, the traditional astrologers have judgments that, oh, this is easy energy to work with, you're blessed with this, to the one where, oh, it's not all that. It is what we make it, right?
It is what we make it. That's the point I'm trying to say, that it's every one of these aspects, that's your script. That's the script between those planets. You get to choose. You can write that script within the guidelines of the energy that's going on. For example, Angelina has a trine from Neptune to Mars. Now, she could, and it's in fire signs, so there's something very creative and dynamic and enthusiastic, and it's almost bombastic energy involved here. She could write this. Some people may experience Neptune to Mars as being kind of spaced out and always, it can push you into a kind of Pollyanna feeling, which is wonderful. Or if someone isn't scripting it that way, it could fall into an escape hatch. Like, if I don't get my way, I'm going to, yeah. Or I will martyr myself to some cause, which, again, ultimately, this isn't good or bad. This is life experience. But I guess what we're trying to show you here today is let go of all judgments, because you get to write these scripts. Just know the only given is that Mars and Neptune, in this case, are going to talk to each other. You decide what they're going to say.
That reminds me, I believe Oprah has a grand trine in air, but you're saying like the Boston Strangler. But what that says to me is you can't just conclude good or bad when you're looking at these aspects. But just recognizing you've got power to work with here, but it is in your hands.
Exactly, exactly. And if you look at Oprah's story, you can really understand how she worked that air, the communication, right? The air. And she literally created a new life story out of the dust for herself. And some people with that grand trine, and we'll go into those chart patterns in a second, some people may have looked at that and just given up. Life isn't that way. Well, you know, woe is me. I can't, you know, that's for some people, not for me. And just never walked that path. And again, it's our choice. You be responsible for your your energy, and you can do whatever you want with it. So that's a really good example. And the only
I might be wrong about I was almost certain she had a grand trine, but I just Googled it. And
oh right, no, I'm not looking at her.
I know different people have different information recorded for people,
yeah.
So I don't never know what the accurate one is, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. That's another good point. There are a few databases that you can buy, astrological databases that have hundreds of thousands of known people and celebrities and world leaders and whatnot, artists. And it's sort of like the Wikipedia with astrology
yeah.
included, which mm-hmm. why the heck they don't do that, I don't know. But anyway, there.
Yeah.
So you can, but also know with the internet that check the source. Check the source when you find birth times and whatnot, because they can vary with accuracy when you're doing your research. Okay, so we'll just talk about the opposition, then we'll talk a little bit about the chart patterns. The opposition is exactly what it sounds like. Again, I would give a 10-degree orb, so between 170 and 190 degrees, but we're looking at the signs being in opposite. For example, with Angelina, she has Moon opposite Pluto, so well, she's got the whole her whole stellium in the ninth is opposite of Pluto. Let's just look at that in terms of table legs. Let's say that she initiates something, Mars, up comes Moon, Jupiter, and Pluto. And Pluto over here is an opposition, is trying to create objectivity. But Pluto, being the furthest out planet and often very unconscious, probably is creating radical change, radical life, death, life transformation whenever she, you know, steps out the door, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's also an indication of her comfortableness in making radical decisions about what she initiates, about her body with the Moon. About her beliefs in life. She is not afraid to go on the edge and make the hard call, the radical choice. She's not afraid to take risks and go in that direction. So we can see that there. Charts without oppositions tend to not have the kind of, the person has to look in other ways to develop their objectivity. They tend to be more focused in particular areas, and that can be quite important. Again, you got to trust the higher self. It's what we said in our last call about the planets. Where you put Saturn is where you want you don't want to ignore. You want to make sure that you are paying attention there. And I think charts without the oppositions tend to focus in the areas where the planets are gathered. And maybe it is a lifetime without that pulling back and getting some of those big picture views. I guess what I'm saying here is don't judge good or bad. See it as this was higher guidance, absolute best, perfect match of energy flow for who you are. And trust that and appreciate it. And then realize that there is going to be a empowering expression and ultimate happiness encapsulated within every aspect in the chart. It just means getting outside these kind of polarized ideas of identifying with one planet and trying to ignore the other one that is connected to it. Does that make sense?
It makes fabulous sense. I love the way you present this.
Oh, great. Okay. So we'll just go, looking down at the aspectarian, this is just a grid that shows us at a quick glance who's in aspect to what. So if we look at down there at the moon on the bottom, the second the symbol in, the second glyph in, and we slide up to the glyph of Saturn on the left, we see in the box between them is a square. And we know right away that Angelina has moon square Saturn. We can see that visually by looking, but that takes practice. And I like to do both. If you're learning, as you're learning, you look at the glyphs. You will look at the aspectarian and go through the planet and go, okay, so moon is going to be conjunct Mars, conjunct Jupiter, and then go to the chart and spot that for yourself. Reinforce it in your mind and think of, okay, why is that there? It's conjunct because they're within 10 degree orb. I hope that makes sense.
So that's just makes sense. And you kind of test us, frankly, Kim, because you post a lot of charts in our gallery at Good Vibe Astrology that don't show this stuff. You have to be able to spot the aspects yourself in order to see them. Kudos to you for stretching us.
Okay, well, I think it's important. And one reason why we looked at Will Smith without the aspectarian and without the aspects drawn, lines drawn, is because we wanted just a clear look at the signs, planets, and houses. And we didn't want distraction, because like here we're looking at the chart with including the aspectarian, including the lines. There's a lot more to look at. And there's more to take in. So in some ways, it's harder. But the most important thing is that you learn to find these with your eye. And you start to learn the relationships between the signs and the planets that fall in them and how they connect through the aspects. And that's just, that practice comes with looking at charts without the aspectarian. I think a lot of people will just glance at the aspectarian, but I think there's something powerful about seeing where it falls in the chart and getting a feeling for how these glyphs are connected without just looking at the graph. So it's a combination. Now, we mentioned chart patterns, and we're just going to touch on it so you know what we're talking about. For example, if they're one of the main chart patterns is the grand trine, and that means that there are, I'm just looking to see, we don't have an example here, but if Angelina had a planet in Leo, so go down to the Leo glyph in the second house there. And we can start at Aries and see Aries fire is trine Sagittarius fire, which if she, had a planet in Leo, it would come around to trine the Leo. And because she would have trines on all three elements connecting them, that would be called a grand trine. Now you can click on your link in this section of the course, the link to chart patterns, and that will show you how the heck many possible chart patterns there are. And I don't want you to get confused by it, but realize that these patterns are, again, ways of they're connecting principles. And what they mean is every planet involved or point, because we include the ascendant and sometimes the midheaven in these chart patterns, every point is going to be, again, connected. And there is a feeling of flowing energy in this grand trine. Another chart pattern is the T-square or grand cross, which involves, in the case of Angelina, she doesn't actually have one, but she does have Saturn square to Jupiter up at the top of the chart there. If she had, let's say if Pluto was a few degrees over, if Pluto was, say, 16 degrees of Libra, that would be a T-square, where Jupiter would be opposite Pluto and square Saturn. To make it a grand cross or a grand square, we would need something over in Capricorn. We would need Saturn to be opposite something in Capricorn within 10 degrees, and then we would have a square going right round the clock. If you refer back to the link to your chart patterns, you'll start to see where these patterns show up. And feel free to spot any patterns in your own chart, post them in the forum, and we can talk about them there. Because it's very, very cool.
Yes? When you see one of those patterns, does it mean anything to you? Or is it just, I mean, like what you were explaining before is anything that has an aspect, it's automatically connected. So to see it in a particular pattern, is that something special or not?
I think it's just reinforcement. It's telling me that they are connected. And, it's grand square, the grand cross. That's, in esoteric astrology, it's saying you can't get away from this now. Whatever the lesson, air quote, or whatever the contrast is, the more layered it is up with squares, generally, the more, in this esoteric sense, it's been ignored, and the harder and harder it is for you to ignore. It's sort of like that idea of where you place your Saturn is where you can't ignore it and still, feel happy. It's something you have to approach. So if I see a strong pattern like that, I am automatically thinking, this is important. So all I'm thinking is this is important. But any aspect, any of these major aspects, it's a red flag or it's a rainbow flag telling us that, hey, we're connected here. There's a script going on here. There's a story. And if you have, let's say you're having trouble manifesting money, and this is your big issue. What we can do is go look at the chart and find the connections to your second house ruler and to Venus. And what's the story being told? Well, I'm going to look at those aspects to see who else has a voice in this story, and how can we tell this story in a new and exciting and supportive and financially abundant way. Mm-hmm. Because you can do that. Now, whether they have a chart pattern that Venus is involved with, or an aspect pattern or not, doesn't matter so much to me. But, they are cool. They're just telling us how things are linked, and there are ways for the eye to see them in a visual pattern way. There's always a pattern there. If you started to make mark out these connections, that you will find a pattern. You're going to have some kind of pattern. You're going to have a yod or a kite or this or that, and that's your signature. So, I guess I just kind of automatically see them, and not necessarily label them. I just see the relationships and the patterns kind of tweak something in my brain. Because remember, I've been doing this before all my life. My dad was an astrologer before me. So this language I grew up with, and sometimes I don't know how to not know. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. So patterns are a way to help us identify what's connected. So they're very valuable in that sense.
Cool. All right. Thanks.
All right. So there are more aspects. The two others that I would mention that are going to be in your PDF there to check on as well is the semi-sextile and the quincunx. Both these aspects are called the inconjuncts. Before they got divided out into this quincunx, which is 150 degree, and semi-sextile, which is 30 degree, they were just simply called inconjuncts, and I tend to do that, just call them the inconjuncts. They, again, are a linking and connecting factor. They link signs that are usually not in the same modality or the same element, which you can learn more about in the deeper understanding of the signs. These are just ways of expressing what those signs are like. So initially, the connection can feel a little bit like a detour, a little bit like, well, I'm here, but what's this over here? It seems foreign territory. It seems different. How can we possibly get these two energies to talk? Well, you can, and you're going to script them, and you're going to find ways that they can be allies to each other. I think that's the goal, is to get everybody working together to express who you are in this supportive way that is your ally. And sometimes your ally is that part of you that jumps in and says, hey, you know, you're giving up too much energy here. What the heck? You know, stand up for yourself. Or your ally might be the part of you that jumps in and says, you want to slow down and connect a little, because it's getting a little dry out here in desert land. And it doesn't mean that we're just all patting each other on the back here. It means that we might be helping to create this balanced and authentic life.
What I got to say, what I've noticed for myself, Kim, and understanding some of the aspects and my patterns and what energy that brings, it's enhanced my appreciation for myself in ways that nothing else has. I mean, this has been a wonderful way to get to know and appreciate myself better than ever.
Fabulous. And this, to me, this is one of the most beautiful and incredible aspects of astrology, is self-acceptance, sense of worth and empowerment and appreciation, and also to others. Once you understand these symbols and the energy that they represent, when you understand the energy is not good or bad, but energy just as it is, you lighten up on those critical judgments of other people. And you can just say, wow, okay, they're really Aries. I'll just step aside. I'm not getting in front of that train, because I know where it's going. And wow, isn't that cool? I'll wave them on. Yoo-hoo! Off you go. As opposed to, holy crap, what do those people think they're doing? How dare they? Blah, blah, blah. Well, they dare because that's their journey. So let them go. Gives us that open-minded way of seeing everything. And appreciating, yeah. You know how one of our LOA skills is to, in relationship in particular, but anything, find things to appreciate about it now. So it might be a boss, or it might be a relationship, a partner. How can I appreciate? Well, go get their chart out and find something you like. There could be a planet or a sign there that you're going to like. Just go give that energy some love. Just go, wow. They've got Mercury in Gemini, and that's just so exciting. They always have something to say about it. It's got some little knowledge there. Appreciate it. As opposed to focusing on that, you know, Moon in Capricorn that we perceive as being, you know, however we're perceiving it. Or vice versa. We might go, wow, Moon in Capricorn, they're so practical and sensual and earthy, as opposed to focusing on the Mercury in Gemini that we thought was too talk too much. So, you know, we find ways to appreciate ourselves and others in the astrology. Okay, we want to do just one last thing before we wrap up this call, which is going to wrap up this Essentials course, and it's going to be part of your homework, because what you're doing now is you're going to be looking. First of all, I want you to go and find your aspects, find your major aspects, find them on the aspectarian graph, and then go to the actual wheel and take your cursor. If you've got your chart in front of you, print it out, go ahead and draw a line there and see where that really, get that connection in your mind's eye where you can see it, and think about what the planets represent and how they might be scripted. So this is a big task. You know, I've been doing this for over 40 years and I'm still doing it. I'll still look at my Venus and try to work out, you know, how I can get her to talk to Mars a little differently. So it's an ongoing practice. So go ahead and start playing with your aspects and getting a connection there. But what I want to do is run you through a very quick drill of the planet. So you get a piece of paper right now, and you're just going to, ask you a question, and you're going to give it a your answer of how much you do this energy between 0, which means you don't do it, and 10, meaning you're rocking it. Okay, so if you don't know, maybe if you're not familiar with the glyphs, click on the legend to the glyphs right now so that you can write them down on the left, and then opposite the glyph, you're going to write your score. Did I say that right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Great. So we're going to start with the sun, circle with the dot in the middle, and from 0 to 10, to what degree do you feel like you shine out in the world and that you are expressing the core value of your individuated, yang, connected, creative life? It's easy for me to score right now since I'm talking to you all. My son's in Gemini. But, okay, moon. So we do this quick. We don't dwell on it. Just first number it comes in your head. Moon, how connected to your inner world of feelings are you? Where are you in terms of giving and receiving love and nurturing? Mercury, how's your communication level? Are you saying what you feel? Are you speaking? Do you feel like you're heard? Are you teaching and learning to the degree that you want to? How's the self-talk? How's the out there talk? How's the communication? With Venus, we're looking at relationship, personal one-to-one relationships. How are you feeling about them?
And you just mean in general, right?
In general. Because as I say this, the whatever's on your mind about it will pop in first. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to look at the good point, Jeanette, because this changes. This isn't your cast in iron. This is how you are forever. This is how you are right now. You might be different tonight. But you are going to get general trends in this. With Mars, how's your healthy aggression? Do you stand your ground? Are you asserting yourself? Do you feel like your engines are revved and you're on the path? Jupiter, how are you expanding out in the world with your creativity? Are there new horizons that you're going towards? Are you traveling, mind, body, or spirit? Saturn, how accomplished are you feeling? How's your ability to take on responsibilities and move forward in the world with a sense of achievement? Uranus, to what degree do you feel free, autonomous, able to channel your genius and splash it out into the world no matter what other people think? Neptune, how connected to your vision of the divine do you feel? This could be the universe. This could be the quantum field. This could be nature and your connection with animals. This is your sense of relationship to the divine. And finally, Pluto, how do you handle your power? This is power on a deeper level than the sun. Transformation, how do you cope with change? Are you feeling empowered? Okay, so this is a fun little test to take periodically, but what it can do is focus you in on what you want to look here in this list is your one or two lowest scores. Those are the ones that you want to circle, and those planets are the energy that they represent, those parts of yourself, is where you want to go to and nurture, amp up, bring in their style of self-love into your life. And as you do that, it may simply be releasing tolerations that are hampering that part of your life. But as you explore and expand that part of you, that energy, everything else in your life will expand and grow as well. Mm. We also, very interesting to know with this this quiz, is that the lowest one or two scores will also usually represent your next relationship, because we attract into ourselves what we're not living out ourselves. So if I get a low Venus, for example, I'm likely to be attracting a Libra or someone with a strong, maybe they have Venus on the ascendant, or some a strong orientation towards relationship. If my moon got a low score, I might be attracting someone very Cancerian and very nurturing and very watery. So anyway, you can get hints about your next relationship or what the direction your relationship is going. Or also you can get an idea of where what wants nurturing, what you can amp up in your chart. Okay, is there anything you want to add, Jeanette?
No, I just think that's a super fun tool for increasing our awareness. Thank you for that, Kim.
Yeah,
it's fun.
It is. It's great. All righty then.
So resources for people to be aware of, since this is our last call.
Yes. Okay, so, yes, a reminder, on the forum we have a thread for specifically for resources, for books and tutorials and articles that you may want to explore to expand your understanding. Anything, any big questions that you come up for you around these essential points of astrology, these basic building blocks, you bring them up on the forum. Don't hesitate to pop a question in there and let your peers answer, let us answer.
And if you see a question in there that you'd love to chime in on, we want to hear from you because we are supporting each other.
Exactly. Exactly. And I guarantee it that you who are learning it now can probably explain it better in some ways. You're going to find a way that you understood it that's going to make sense to that person who's searching for it. So please feel free to chime in and check the Temple Library because we're always adding new articles and there's always new links going there. And remember to catch us on the free calls. The free monthly calls and the round table where you can start to practice, learn new things and practice your understanding of astrology. And of course, our ongoing courses, which are going to open new doors. Now that you have the essentials under your belt, it's time to expand.
And I would like to invite everyone to have fun with this. Don't make it a big deal. Don't make it hard. Don't let it be overwhelming. Trust your intuition around it and enjoy it.
Fabulous. Thank you. All right. Onward and upward.